Your guide to Merseyside sport. The Kickoff.
Radio City Talk.
Okay, let's resume with the A to Z of Merseyside football. We're on the Fs. It's the Football League, which has been keeping us occupied for quite a few weeks now, but there's so much to dig through and so many title successes. Last week, we finished off with Liverpool's epic title-winning season where it all went to the final day. They needed a result at Wolves and they got it. So that was 1975-1976. So John Keith picks up from there. Morning to you, John.
Good morning, Steve. Yes, we come to this 1976-77 campaign, and it's one when Liverpool went desperately close to landing the first treble in the history of English football. They retained the title for the first time since the 1920s, finishing a point ahead of Manchester City. Now, City were so proud of their second place, they had shirt badges designed proclaiming, "We are runners-up."
Really?
Yep. Something you can imagine that would be totally alien to the boot room creed where, you know, first was first and second was nowhere.
But they come from a long way from behind or something?
No, it's just that they'd been in the wilderness for so long to finish second, they thought it was some kind of feat. So it was quite scoffed at the time.
That would have been laughed at by anyone at Liverpool.
Yes, it was, but they had these badges done, yes. Well, as the curtain went up on the 76-77 campaign, Kevin Keegan shocked the Kop and the rest of English football, announcing he'd be quitting Anfield at the end of the season for a new challenge abroad. And immediately, of course, many pundits started predicting he'd be irreplaceable. Well, the man who'd render that forecast as absolute nonsense was at that time plying his trade with Celtic. But that summer, Liverpool signed former Everton striker David Johnson from Ipswich. Joey Jones became first choice at left back and a Terrace hero, while Phil Neal returned smoothly to right back, and the title win was achieved primarily on an unbeaten home record of 18 wins and 3 draws. But Liverpool did lose 8 of 21 away matches, quite a lot for a title-winning team, and it included a remarkable 5-1 midweek defeat at Aston Villa in December. That was their heaviest defeat since 1963. But that shock setback was part of a dip in form that saw them lose 3 times in 4 league games. But Paisley, Joe Fagan and the rest of the backroom team got all the squad together, delivered a few home truths to them, and the outcome was they lost only 2 of the next 21. By the end of March, the title outcome was being disputed by Liverpool, Manchester City and Bobby Robson's Ipswich. But April home wins over both their rivals proved crucial for Liverpool. Now, the 2-1 win over Ipswich was a wild affair. It was an unbelievable game. Menacing tackles launched amidst woeful handling by referee Peter Willis. A fan invaded the pitch and handed the referee a pair of glasses. And a fuming Paisley declared, "I've never seen a refereeing performance as bad as that one. It's the closest I've seen Anfield boil over into a riot." And he was so right. I mean, there was an air of menace about the whole thing. It was dreadful. But nobody actually got seriously injured, amazingly. Now, a goalless home draw with West Ham in their penultimate league game secured English football's first back-to-back title wins since Wolves in 1959. And as Liverpool were winning the championship, they also reached the finals of the FA and European Cups, so setting up the prospect of the first ever treble in English football, and prompted the Liverpool squad to go into a recording studio and sing their very own song, "Yes, We Can Do It." Alas, they couldn't.
Have you got a copy?
They lost it. Yes,
have you got a copy of it at home?
We used it in one of our stage shows.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it bad?
It's not bad. It's actually not bad
you
at
fibber.
All.
Go on.
They lost the FA Cup final 2-1 to Manchester United, and here's where fate plays a part, Steve, because a long, long delay in the departure from Watford of the club's chartered train home was cited by the players as one of the major reasons why they were able to transform the Wembley disappointment into one of determination to win the European Cup 3 days later. Because on the protracted journey home from Wembley, there was all sorts going off, jocular fights amongst the players and wives with sugar cubes being thrown around the train, people jumping on tables and singing. And by the time the train got into Lime Street around midnight, I think they'd all forgotten about Wembley. And Embley News said, "I knew then that we were going to win the European Cup." Strange.
And you'll know far more than me, but I think Ray Clements is very much credited for starting that sort of change on the platform, isn't he?
Well, yeah, even before that, in the dressing room at Wembley, he took a running leap he jumped into the bath and he said, I don't know about you lot, but I'm going to get bum, 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 bum tonight. And but that was it. Bob got off the train, went home and picked his Wembley, his team for Rome. Now, they'd reached the final after that 3-2 aggregate quarter-final win over Saint-Étienne. Thrilling, thrilling match. David Fairclough sent on, scoring one of the most significant and celebrated goals in Anfield history to cement his reputation as football's first super sub. And the 3-1 conquest of Borussia Mönchengladbach on Rome to lift the European Cup for the first time, of course, took the club to a new elite level, crossing the threshold to a status they'd been seeking since their passports were first stamped under Bill Shankly in 1964. And that, of course, was the theme of the book I've recently written, Reykjavik to Rome, which charts Liverpool's journey under Shankly from 1964 right through to that great day in Rome, that great night in Rome in 1977. But in this title win that year, Steve, rotation was again a word from a different football language as far as Paisley and his players were concerned. Goalkeeper Ray Clements and captain Emlyn Hughes played in all 62 games. Neil and Ray Kennedy missed one each, Joey Jones three, Steve Highway four. So they're all around about 60 games a season. Mm. It's quite remarkable.
And all had a massive influence. You mentioned Ray Kennedy, just an unbelievable
player.
Who
everyone in that team had a massive influence because it was a wonderful team. And Keegan, the departing Keegan, he produced his best display of the season in Rome, tortured Bertie Vaux's marker, and he missed only five matches in that three-competition marathon. Now, Keegan's £500,000 move to Hamburg set up probably the shrewdest piece of business probably any club has ever pulled off. They signed Kenny Dalglish from Celtic and they kept £60,000 of the Keegan fee in the bank. So that's not bad.
Rub your hands together there.
Yeah. And in Dalglish's first season, they finished runners-up to Brian Clough's Nottingham Forest, who also beat them in the League Cup final replay. But Paisley and Liverpool had the huge satisfaction of seeing his side become the first British club to retain the European Cup. A Dalglish goal, a great Dalglish goal, toppling Bruges at Wembley. And the following season of 78-79, which we'll talk about in the next episode, Steve, Liverpool could truly claim to become champion of champions. And a squad, no less a figure than Alan Hansen, declared the best he played in at Anfield.
So 77-78, and they beat Bruges and they win the European Cup, but they're not winning the league.
No.
Was that something of a massive disappointment as well?
Well, it was, because at that time, winning leagues had become a matter, or not a matter of course, but a regularity for Liverpool. Mm. So to miss out was a big disappointment, but I suppose to miss out and retain the European Cup, there was a one wonder, if it was a consolation, probably more than a consolation, it was a magnificent achievement, the first British club to do so.
And do you still think it rankles with a few of the players that they didn't achieve that treble in 76-77? Because the margin is so small, isn't it?
Yeah, it was 2.5, wasn't it? They won two and got to the final of the other. But they will tell you that they didn't play well at Wembley. And Bob Paisley admitted, by the way, big man that he was, he told Ian Callaghan later, I made a mistake in leaving you out at Wembley. And there was a wonderful upshot, because on the Monday in training after losing to Man United, Callie tells the story when he said, I'm in training and suddenly I'm aware of a figure alongside of me jogging and the voice says, do you want to play in Rome? And I said, of course I do. Well, you're playing. And Bob ran away from him.
Brilliant. A to Z of Merseyside football. We've done some critical years there in terms of Liverpool winning Football League championships. We'll be back next week with John Keith.
Your guide to Merseyside sport. The kickoff.
Radio City Talk.